Hey, what's going on, Brotato? It's your boy Jerry, the TR Expert Washington, and I'm here in the basement of General Fitness Company Studio recording episode number 76 of the TR Expert Talks. Yeah, if you're a normal listener, I am sorry. Yesterday, you didn't get your podcast episode. Aww. I broke my streak. But anyways, yeah, I was a little tired, and my body was just like, nah, dude, you ain't got it. I didn't have anything in my mind, didn't have anything in my body. I was just like, you know what, call it a wrap. So, if you're interested in getting more content, you know, you can always check out my website with the blog, or you can sign up for my daily email list. I think you can actually sign up on the website to do that as well. So lots of ways you can get more of my thoughts, more of my drops of wisdom. But today I got a little live call for you. So yeah, pretty much we're talking about our Kantian fairness and the birds of a feather tendencies. We're talking about cognitive biases. If you're familiar with Warren Buffett, you know he has a buddy or a work associate named Charlie Munger who came up with these 25 cognitive biases, and I've been kind of going over them in my private Facebook group, Project Selfie. So haven't released them all on the podcast, but this is one of them that I wanted to get out to you today because I think it's one that applies to a lot of people that listen to this podcast. So we'll get this started, but before we get started, though, you know, it would mean the world to me if you shared this podcast, if you share this podcast episode or this podcast in general with a friend or a family member. That'd be great because I do my best to get the distribution out. You know, I try to do my best to tell everybody that I know about it and try to share it on social media. But, you know, and there's nothing better than word of mouth. So, you know, I could tell as many people as I want, but when it comes from someone else that's not actually producing and creating the podcast, it holds a little bit more clout, as I'm sure you can imagine. And if you don't share this podcast with a family member or a friend, you know, you can always leave a rating or review on iTunes. You know, those also help get more eyes and ears on this podcast. Because, you know, with more eyes and ears, you get more mouths talking about it, and more mouths that talk about it, the more eyes and ears that get on it. It's like a nice positive feedback loop. So anyways, without further ado, let's go ahead and get this episode underway. Episode number 76, Fairness, Ego, and Mr. Know-It-All. Lego! Boom, boom, boom. Here we go. We are we're live.
We're live and direct.
Oh, shit. It's 5 o'clock.
Well, let's get the show on the road, huh?
Anyway, so today I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your ego and the golden rule. So, if you don't mind me, I'm actually eating a little lunch here. Pistachio is my favorite. Probably like the healthiest lunch, but at the same time, only buy them when they're on sale. Buy a ton of them because, like, you know, they're like $12 a bag normally. You only get like what, a pound? It's so expensive, but I love them so much, and it's better than eating like a lot of other things I can spend $12 on. But anyways, so I'm going to talk about two cognitive biases. We're getting back into our cognitive biases. Talking about exactly what it is that we do that makes us make these decisions, good or bad. And today I'm going to talk about the Kantian fairness tendency as well as the excessive self-regard tendency. Now, these are two very important tendencies when it comes to decision making, when it comes to at least making decisions that affect others. So, well, we'll start off with bias number 7. So the Kantian fairness tendency is essentially, as I said before, it's what we call the golden rule. Do unto others as you have others do unto you, right? And we expect that. You know, we expect that whatever we do is going to be reciprocated. And obviously, when that doesn't happen, we get a little upset, right? You know, like at the end of the day, when, you know, if you give something to someone and then all of a sudden, or you keep giving something to someone, maybe your time or money, and they don't return it, or return something equivalent, you're like, what the? So, yeah, you know, and it's like, it's what helps promote social cohesion. That's why we historically have had it coming up as a human race. our ancestors needed it to prevent chaos, because if you didn't have social cohesion and you didn't have people, doing whatever they wanted, you could actually create societies and civilizations, you know. It's kind of the reason why we don't have people running over people for no reason, right? So, but there's a problem with this, you know. It's like with excessive fairness, you know, like people want to be fair, but when it's excessive, it can lead to rewarding bad behavior. So if you can think about, like, for instance, let's try this lighting. I don't know. Anyways. So anyways, what I was saying, excessive fairness can, like, lead you to, like, reward bad behavior. So, like, for instance, you can see that with, like, insurance fraud, and where people, like, they fake workplace injuries so they can be fairly compensated. And, you know, it's not necessarily, like, you know, everybody's bad, but just, like, you can see that happen. It's just an instance where that happened. And the opposite of that, like, the excessive fairness, it would be, like, in the Navy, where you have, like, a naval officer, he'll get dismissed if his boat runs ashore. So you can think about it as, like, you have to have people treated fairly. You know, you, like, obviously we all want to be treated fairly. We're all human beings. We all deserve to have rights, and we believe in that, right? But at the end of the day, though, if you think about everybody being treated fairly, simple things like, say, for instance, a four-way stop sign. Think about a four-way stop sign. If everybody were to get at that four-way stop at the same exact time and everybody was fair, then we'd have a lot of accidents. Same thing with, like, one-lane bridges. If, like, you were coming up on someone, or if you're coming up one way, another person's coming up another way, you had so much fairness that you just had, you know, you would run into somebody. So you have to find that balance. And the thing is that when you want to find a balance, you can't fight for what's fair. You can't always fight for what's fair. I know it sounds kind of bad, but you can't always fight for what's fair. You have to fight for what works. So think about it. Think about it in another way. Cancer and diseases, they're natural human systems. They're parts of what happens to our system sometimes. But if we were fair, we'd just let them occur naturally and just let them just take over our lives. Like before, like when we had, like, the plague and stuff like that, like, that was just something that happened to us because diseases exist because of germs and viruses, and they have just as much as right to, quote-unquote, right as, you know, like, it depends on who you're talking to, but they have just as much a right to exist as ourselves, you know, if you, in the grand scheme of things, if you think about in the forms that organism has even every equal right to exist, then if you're hosting it, right, and you're doing, and it's because you're hosting cancer, it's in your body, or you're hosting, you know, whatever diseases like flus or whatever that we go to the doctors for. If you're hosting it, you're doing it a service, but it's not doing you a service, it's actually killing you. So the thing is that you can't treat everything fairly, and that's why we have this Kantian fairness tendency, but that is the downside of it. So you just, I'm not saying you shouldn't be fair, because obviously that's what makes human society work. So you have to think about your relationships and if whatever you're giving out is being reciprocated. And sometimes you can understand, like, it doesn't have to be the same thing that's reciprocated. Like, you know, you could be giving someone, you can be giving someone money, and maybe they can't give you the same thing, but, you know, that's kind of how our society works. You know, you can maybe give someone money, and they give you their time. Obviously, you have to make sure that whatever is you're giving out is being reciprocated in a fair sense. So that's kind of how the Kantian fairness tendency is. Like I said, like, it's good to have it, because without it, you know, we'd be just running amok in the streets. You know, we'd be shooting and killing each other because maybe just didn't like what somebody did, and, you know, we'd have just a society that nobody would return favors, and everybody would just kind of be survival of the fittest, and we wouldn't be here right now. But at the same time, as I said, you can't be too fair, because we have to all realize that there are systems, there are natural systems out there that are not necessarily working in our favor. And it's not saying that they're good or bad. It's just that, you know, sometimes you have opposing forces that one force has one interest and another force has another interest. But if you can find a way that force can kind of get what they need, but not on your dime. And that's essentially what it is. If, you know, you can kind of find people or find systems that can work to be more productive rather than fair, as I said before. That's going to be the most important thing for keeping you happy and healthy and most of all sane, because it's a tough life to live where you're always trying to be fair for people, and if you have people that aren't fair to you, you continue trying to be fair to them. So, you know, it's okay if you have people in your life that are not exactly doing what's in your best interest. It's okay to maybe not have them in your life anymore. So anyways, and just as a reminder, you know, I'm talking here, and these 25 cognitive biases, they're not just they're not something I made up. They're definitely been around for quite a while in terms of like what we've found out in modern psychology, sociology, and every other ology. But why it exists is because this gentleman named Charlie Munger, he's a associate of Warren Buffett. He's essentially a pretty smart guy, and he's found these 25 cognitive biases, and psychologists and other sociologists have agreed with him in how the tendencies or these biases are affect our behavior on a daily basis. So we'll go right into our bias number 12, and that is a interesting one. That is the excessive self-regard tendency, so almost like the narcissist tendency. And believe it or not, you know, all these tendencies, we all are affected by these tendencies at one point in time. Nobody's excluded from these tendencies. You may believe that it's not something that you do, or maybe you might believe that it is something beneath you or whatever, but this is something that actually everybody has. So if you feel like you might identify with this, don't feel bad, because it's everybody identifies with these biases at any one point in time, because it's just how that's how we come to know them, because everybody has these tendencies. So the excessive self-regard tendency is actually a combination of a lot of psychological studies and sociological studies. One of them is the Dunning-Kruger effect. That is essentially the Dunning-Kruger effect is the belief that when you don't know a lot of a subject, and sometimes I feel like this, when you don't know a lot of a subject, you actually think you know more. So essentially, it's like the less you know, the more you think you know. But there's also the reverse. You know, the opposite is that the more you know, the less you really think you know. So that's why I say, like, some people ask me questions, and I'm like, yeah, I know that. You don't know that? But, you know, it's just like anything. Like, the more you know about something, the more you, and a lot of times, the more you're interested in it, too. So this is also an excessive self-regard tendency, and that's homophily. In other words, how birds of a feather flock together. That's an ancient Greek term for, you know, people like minds thinking, like minds hanging out together or spending the most time with each other. So homophily is something that's been around for quite some time. Greeks been talking about it for years. So like I said, these are things that come through in human interactions or human behaviors, you know, since the dawn of time. So another term coined by psychologist David Myers is the Lake Wobegon effect, and that's actually named after a fictional town in Wisconsin, I believe it is. And this was a town where all the women were beautiful and all the men were strong and all the children were above average. So I think it was like a radio show, like back in the days. I don't know if it still exists. I was like doing a little bit of research on that one, because I was like, oh, what's this Lake Wobegon effect? Because I felt like I've heard of it before, but I didn't know exactly what it was. But yeah, so as I said, essentially, as like an individual, the less you know about a subject, the more you believe you're an expert on it. And the problem is with that, what can happen is that you end up surrounding yourself with people that may have the same beliefs. And these people that have the same beliefs may have the same amount of knowledge as you about the particular subject. So, I mean, I don't want to go into specific topics on that one, because, you know, there's a lot of people that have different beliefs, and I don't want to sound like I'm poo-pooing on anybody's beliefs or supporting anybody else's beliefs or whatnot. I just kind of want to remain unbiased in this talk about human the human tendencies and biases. But Essentially, though, you end up creating a dysfunctional feedback loop. And essentially what happens is that you have, what ends up happening, though, is that you have people pretty much just feeding this misinformation to each other, because essentially they're saying, oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. Oh, that sounds about right, because I trust that guy. So the thing is that, as I said, that's essentially what that is called groupthink. And I'm sure you've heard of some tragedies that have happened with groupthink. One humongous tragedy happened to people that look a lot like me, that suffered from slavery for quite a while because of the groupthink. And obviously we know that it wasn't 100% the case, but the belief that black people were less of a human being, because that was the societal belief. So, like, you know, you got to be, and also, you know, systematic genocide of Jews. That was another example of groupthink. So you got to be aware of groupthink, because it can be obviously very dangerous. We've seen this in history. Like, you may believe that you're on the right side of history, but if you look back at it, you might find out that you are definitely on the wrong side, and nobody told you, because they thought like you. So, like I said, you know, as I said, that's kind of where the birds of a feather kind of come together. So, you know, Lake Wobegon, the example of Lake Wobegon, in terms of you know, having this belief or this false belief that you're better than others, you just have to think objectively when you have these decisions that you're faced with, you know, because at the end of the day, you have only one perspective, and there's 7.8 billion, I think it's 7.8, it doesn't matter, over 7 billion people in this world, and there's a lot of perspectives that can obviously help you. So when I think about this tendency, I am reminded of a famous Socrates quote, and he said, true wisdom comes to each of us when we realize how little we understand about ourselves, life, and the world around us. So you got to think about that, and then you got to be more objective in your decision making, and especially with stuff that directly involves you. But more importantly, I think you have to not accept excuses for poor performance. Because, like, you know, if you have people around you and you're like chummy, and are you happy with who they what they believe, because you overvalue something that's similar to you, you tend to accept poor performance, and then eventually you kind of see society as a whole go downhill. That's happened with all kinds of civilizations, the Romans, the Greeks. They all kind of got full of themselves, and they accepted poor performance, and they didn't really think about what the next step is for, or they didn't really think about, like, the future, or they didn't think about how that poor performance could affect the future of their civilization, I should say. So if you think about it, just like, always try to, if we're talking about the cognitive bias number 7, you know, if we're talking about the Kantian fairness tendencies, like, you really have to be aware of, like, what you're letting into your life, you know, what opinions are weighing in on your life. You know, you might have some opinions that they're just not as valuable. Unfortunately, you know, everybody has the right to say what they should say, but you don't have to give them the right to your attention, if that makes sense. You know, like, there's some people that just don't have the right idea, or don't have the right, they just don't have it. Let's put it that way. You're like, not everybody has the knowledge, or not everybody has the wisdom to maybe be a part of your circle. And I'm not saying that you should totally kick them out of your circle, or you should totally, like, cut off friends or family members that maybe you're not exactly in line with where you want to be. Because obviously, as I said, to have that, you know, you run into that excessive self-regard tendency if you run it that way. But you have to just be aware that there are some things that are may not serve you. And, you know, so you have to just have that. There's a fine line between those things that may not serve you, and things that you just may not agree with, you know. So it's like taking that time to make objective decisions, or, you know, taking that time to be an objective decision maker, as opposed to just going off of your gut or going off of what feels right, is obviously a better method to solving your issues or solving your problems than to just have a group think and collect all your friends that think exactly the same as you and solve problems that way. Because you can solve problems that way, but obviously if you have everybody thinking exactly the same way, you're gonna solve problems the exact same way. And sometimes you can find better ways, and sometimes the ways that you're solving problems together are maybe not even the right way to solve a problem. So it's just, I guess we're going to end a little early today. We're going to finish this off here. I wish you well. I hope you have a good Friday afternoon. It's a beautiful day. Don't blame me for not checking this out live, because I'm right now thinking like, man, I could be outside. But you know what? At the end of the day, I am a man of my word. I made a promise that I would have this live call for you people that were interested in learning a little bit more about how you can make better decisions in your life, not only in the gym, because I'm all about teaching you about, like, you know, learning how to do things in the gym, learning how to do push-ups properly, learn how to do squats properly, or, you know, at least in a way that won't hurt you. But at the same time, I also think that it's important that we make good decisions, not only in the gym, but outside the gym as well. So that's what it's all about here, you know, at the General Fitness Company. That's what I am as the general, trying to spur you troops along on this Project Selfie, like a little secret group of officers. I like to think of, like, this whole structure is like, you know, you got y'all on this Project Selfie are my officers, you people that I believe are really trying to do better things for yourself. Everybody else that is, may not be in this group, you know, those are the foot soldiers. And, you know, everybody has their value. Everybody has their place. And I appreciate you for watching this whenever you watch this, because I believe that learning a little bit more and being objective and continuing to study the way life works can definitely help us to be happier in our lives. Because if you're continually trying to solve problems the same way, as I said earlier, if you're trying to do things the same way, you can obviously expect the same result. So I appreciate you listening. You know, I appreciate you watching. And happy Friday. I'll talk to you soon. And as always, keep good company.